Most electronic devices we use today, like cell phones and computers, use lithium-ion batteries for their power. These batteries can store a lot of energy, leading to longer use times before recharging than other battery types. But the metals and chemicals used in lithium-ion batteries can be dangerous.
Interestingly enough, if something makes a very high energy density battery, it oftentimes has, it's a very energetic material and can have sort of safety issues associated with that. And we see that with lithium ion. So you've seen the reports of people's laptops catching on fire, issues with cars, et cetera.
That's Shelley Mentir. She's a USTAR professor of chemistry and material science and engineering at the University of Utah. To keep these batteries safe means they have to be packaged very carefully. And other safety mechanisms, such as a temperature sensor, have to be included so they don't overheat.
Because lithium is sort of dangerous chemistry, so the container itself, the protective container, takes up a certain amount of space. And so we are basically hitting the limit, taking into account that we have to have the protective cases.
As electronics continue to advance, they need higher battery capacities. But safety concerns and other technological considerations mean that it may not be long before lithium-ion batteries can no longer keep up. This has led to an explosion of research into the development of whole new types of batteries.
So it used to be that we were okay with a cell phone that we use sporadically, and now we need our cell phone to take videos, to take pictures, to have a color screen, and all these things require energy. And so we have had to sort of change how we think about designing batteries to be able to design those for the applications that people want to use them today.
Mentir is on the forefront of battery technology. Her lab is developing biodegradable batteries that contain no toxic metals or chemicals.
We are making batteries that are, for all intents and purposes, edible. Not that we eat them, but they are edible.
She says her batteries are inspired by biology, since every day we consume food and cells in our bodies convert that food into energy.
The powerhouse of the living cell, or the energy conversion component of the living cell, happens in the mitochondria. And so we either remove the mitochondria intact
from yeast, spinach, or potatoes,
and put it on an electrode surface, or we remove the part of the mitochondria, the actual enzymes or catalyst in the mitochondria that do energy conversion from the cell, and put them on the electrode surface.
The fuel for this type of battery is not a dangerous chemical, but instead can be the same kind of things that we ingest, like sugar or alcohol. The mitochondria or enzymes convert the fuel into electrical energy.
We have technology that we know is extremely efficient in the living cell. And if we can get that kind of efficiency, we would have energy densities that are over an order of magnitude, or roughly 20 times as energy dense as lithium-ion batteries. But we haven't yet got that complete efficiency that you see in the living cell. And so we're working on how we can improve that.
Currently, biobatteries are able to generate high enough current densities to power many portable electronic devices.
So you're typically talking about lifetimes that are on the days to weeks range for mitochondria, so relatively short. On the other hand, with enzymes, it really depends on what we do to protect the enzymes. So if we protect the enzymes from degradation, we can get months to years worth of life out of the enzyme. Similar lifetimes to what you would get out of a lot of your sort of traditional battery technologies.
The benefits of a biobattery are obvious in terms of disposal. It's estimated that Americans throw away 358 million pounds of batteries every year, dispersing toxic materials into our air, water, and soil. But there are also specific applications that could be more suitable for a biobattery. Imagine a pacemaker that runs on a battery that uses the sugar in a person's bloodstream. Or since the batteries can be made flexible, they could be used in wearable electronics. Mentir says some applications will take longer to develop than others, but expects to see simple applications come out within a couple of years.
Some applications, like for instance using biodegradable batteries in a greeting card, doesn't require a lot of engineering. If instead you look at the battery that is in your cell phone, the battery in your cell phone is a smart device. And so any type of smart battery that requires a great deal of power management is longer down the engineering scale than something that can just use the energy as it comes directly out of the battery.
So the next time you open a greeting card like this one, it's just possible that you might be using a biobattery. For KCPW and Explore Utah Science, I'm Kim Shusky.